Okay. So then the question from yesterday continued. Is it correct to think that the concept of Tara that I label I is exactly the same process by which I conceive an inherently existing Chinni and label I? It better not be. That's the whole point of generating your body as Tara, is that you don't grasp that an inherently existing I. Okay? So this is why it's so crucial that you do the meditation on emptiness before the self-generation. Otherwise, if that's not done, if you don't think about emptiness, then even if you generate yourself as the deity, then there's the latching on to, you know, I am Tara. And that's where you get, sometimes people go off the deep end and they really start believing they're the deity, you know? They have some mental disturbance, and at that point, that's because they're grasping themselves as a self-existent deity. Okay? So we don't want to do that at all. That's big trouble. Okay? So there's also, Lama Yeshe used to ask us, what's the difference between imagining yourself as Mickey Mouse and imagining yourself as Tara? Okay? So that's your meditation question today. I'm not going to tell you the answer. Okay. That's for you to think about. You know, there's got to be some difference, right? Because if you start going around saying, you know, I'm Mickey Mouse, where are they going to put you? Yeah. Similarly, if you start going around saying, I'm the Buddha, they're going to put you in the same place. So, you know, there's got to be some difference here. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Otherwise, what's the Buddha teaching? Okay, or what are we doing is more likely the question. So when the self-grasping at our own self, you know, the view of a personal identity, you know, when that arises, there's a whole process before that. First, there's the grasping that the aggregates is truly existent. Okay, so the body-mind is truly existent. Then, there's the positing of the I, you know, there's labeling I independence on the aggregates. And then, after that, there's grasping that I that was labeled independence on the aggregates as truly existent. So it goes in a stage like that. There are times when we're not grasping it as a truly existent I. And at that time, there's the appearance of the aggregates, there's the labeling of the aggregates, and then there's what's called a valid mind apprehending I. Okay. But then, when you regard that I as the focal object and grasp it as truly existent, then you get the view, you know, of a personal identity. Okay? Grasping onto yourself as true existent. So you don't want to do that as the deity, because then nothing's changed. So the whole idea is you dissolve into emptiness, and by that wisdom appearing in the form of the deity, that keeps you focused on that appearance of the deity is just an appearance. It's not truly existent. It's not a truly existent deity body. It's just an appearance, okay, like an illusion. And then in dependence upon that appearance, then there's the label I, you know, dependence upon the appearance of the deity's aggregates, you label I. And then you try and stay with that in your meditation. If you go to the point of, I'm a truly existent deity, then you know, it's the same as being a truly existent Mickey Mouse, except you just look a little bit different. Okay? So you can see what you're doing in the self-generation, you want to make it different than what we're doing in our normal life, where, you know, there's this appearance of the aggregates, we grasp that truly existent, we label I, and then we grasp that I to truly exist. And then we have to defend that I, we have to protect that I, we have to make sure everybody notices it in the way we want people to notice it. you know, all those kinds of things. And that's where dukkha comes from.
Yes? So I think I must be more clear. What I wanted to try to compare is, if I realize that I'm labeling on the appearance of the deity, this I, if I were able to do that with the conventional appearance of my own aggregates, could I compare those things?
Oh, okay. So could you compare just the lightly labeling of I, the mere I on your own aggregates, with the labeling of I independent from the deity's aggregates? Yeah, in the sense that both of them have been merely labeled independent upon aggregates, yes. You could also compare that with labeling the table on the basis of these four legs at the top. It's just labeling something independent upon a basis of designation.
So I think that maybe this is off, but I was thinking, if here I am deliberately doing this, if I can be aware of what I'm doing, the process of the deliberate evoking of this image that I put a label on, mm-hmm. then I can be aware of how that's different from the innate, unconscious labeling and grasping when I do it to myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then you're asking, yeah, if you can be aware of how you're labeling I independence on the deity's aggregates, mm-hmm. can that help you see that in your regular life, when you're labeling I on your regular aggregates, that then you also take the additional step and see that as an inherently existent I? It could. Yeah. But you can also do that with trying to see how you label I and then how you grasp that same I as inherently existent. Yeah. If we examine this process by which self-grasping or grasping into existence arises, I think it might be more effective to look at something, see it, all the parts involved in it, really go through and notice all these different parts, and then see how the mind puts the parts together through a conceptual process and calls it whatever it is. And how, after we call it that, you know, without even being consciously aware, we then think it is that from its own side. And so that's the grasping into existence. So I think watching that process is very, very helpful. So you could start with, you know, the chair, and you look at the different parts of the chair, and really look at them as different parts. See different parts. Don't see a chair. Or look out there and see branches and limbs and leaves and trunks, and don't see a tree. Just see the parts. And then step back, and then see how the mind coalesces that into a tree or into a chair. And then how, when you look at it the next time, it appears that it's a tree or a chair out there from its own side. And then see how you do that with other people, how it seems when you look at somebody else that there's a real person inside there, but actually there's just body, feelings, you know, discriminations, different conditioning factors and different consciousnesses, and see all those different things. And then see how the mind puts them together, and then not only calls them, you know, we call them person, but it's very soon after that, then there's like, well, there's a real person out there that's in addition to the aggregates. It's not just the aggregates, there's something in addition to the aggregates. There's not just the parts of the tree, there's something in addition to that, you know. And then see how we hold that thing at, that's in addition to what is there with the parts, as coming from the side of the parts, existing somehow within those parts, being fused with them in some way, but not totally fused. Okay? And I think that's a good way to get an idea of what inherent existence means and how that process of self-grasping arises. And then when you do that with other people, then look at it and do it with yourself. You know, there's just a, you know, you can start just with your body and really look at different parts of the body. There's no body there. There's just arms and legs and tissues and this and that. You know, so it's helpful about doing the body meditation. Mm-hmm. There's just all these different organs and tissues and limbs. And then you put them together and the mind makes them a body. And then the next moment, there's really a body. Okay. And then, of course, we get into my body, which is another step. Okay. But then do that with yourself. Okay. But then there's the five aggregates of which the self are composed. And see the different aggregates. And then see how the mind puts them together and says me. And how as soon as we say me, boy, we go into self-grasping, don't we? You know, that light comes so quickly. So you can, that, I think that's a good way to watch how that process occurs.
I find it also interesting that when I'm meditating, usually when I first sit down, my the label I is on the body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
But once I've really calmed myself, it ceases to be on the body and it's more just on the mind.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, my body is just a body.
Yeah.
It's not
until your body hurts.
Yeah, or I stand up and have to use it or something like that. Then all of a sudden it's back to I am my body, mind.
Right. Yeah, but very often, you know, the body falls away a little bit at least. But then it seems like the I is closely related to the mind. I don't like this. I want that.
But even after a while, all the storytelling becomes the sense of self.
Yeah.
You know, all the conceptualization that I tell myself, the observations, the judgments, the fantasizing and stuff, that then becomes thinking.
Right.
She's so much a part of her thinking.
Right.
Because the body does fall away. I'm almost disconnected to it, and I'm all in my mind.
Yeah. But then, how we use our past to create this sense of self. You know, and hold on to those stories, because those stories give us an identity now. Yeah. And so then we get all involved in the stories. And what you were saying, you know, Amsterdam in the 70s, and da-da-da. And somehow that's creating the sense of I right now. But, you know, I am the one who... Yeah.
So powerful. To bring the mind away from those stories, then you have, for me, I have a sense of, well, who am I?
Right, who am I? And that's why, you see, you know, when you become a monastic, and you give away the things that you had as a lay person, then that, you know, why sometimes it takes people a while to do that, because they're still very attached to that sense of I. But as you give those things away, you know, then you lose that attachment to being that person. But it does leave you sometimes a little bit up in the air. Well, who am I? Yeah. If I'm leaving that identity of so-and-so who liked this and did that and was friends with this one and was the victim of that one and had, you know, all these friends that loved her and all these people that hated her. If I leave all that behind and just let it go, what am I going to be?
The identity of being a monastic is almost more strong than being in the past conception.
So, depending on the person, if you then develop an identity, I'm a monastic, then you're just doing the same thing. Okay? I'm a monastic, therefore, you know, I'm this and this and this. You're going to take bhikshuni ordination if you come back to, I'm a bhikshuni now. You know, this is da 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 da, because I'm a bhikshuni now. We'll put you in your place, don't worry about it. You know, but that can easily happen when somebody is leaving behind an old identity and then creating a new one with it. We latch onto that.
You
because the, for me, after letting go of all the physical stuff, then there's the memories that were produced by the objects.
Right.
So now I'm finding I'm dealing now with the memories.
Yeah.
And how that's the part that now has to be let go. They're just thoughts. They don't exist. There's nothing other, there's nothing there.
Yeah. Right. But what we were talking about before, our addiction to those memories and thinking about them again and again and again in our meditation, and how thinking about somebody else's memories or somebody else's patterns is so boring. You know, if you, and this would be very good, Kath, you write out your memories, give them to Sunkay, and every time she starts getting into her memory, she has to take out yours and read it, you know, and get into your memory. And then we'll see how long that lasts.
What can I think about?
Then you can think about her memory. And then, you know, you really see, it's really quite boring, isn't it? You know, it's like, okay, you know, that's past and that happens, and it's interesting at the beginning, but if you keep thinking about it, it's really quite boring. She's smiling, she's not so sure.
What I've been doing is I've been taking the memories and replacing the people in my memories with the people of the present. Oh, there's all sorts of conjecture going on. Should have been a playwright.
Okay.